With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 365, a milestone. We now have one episode for every day of the
That's
year.
Right. That's right.
You can
right.
finally stop repeating it. I know people have been listening to everyone right. one every day, and, so and now, have to listen to them again.
Now you can just start at episode one, and this time next year, you'll be... Not caught up at all.
No, not at all.
You'll have to do two in one day and you'll have three in one. I mean, eventually it's going to get crazy where you just all day you'll have to have it on in the background.
That's right. So, Tomb Raider. That's the. I didn't say the actual name of the movie. Ah, so, episode 365, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
So, before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Real quick, shameless plug. Swing on by the iTunes. Leave us a review. Why don't you? If you like what you hear, we do it 365 episodes worth every day of the year now. So, yeah, swing on by and say hi. That would be a weird review, though, wouldn't it?
Just like, hi.
Hi.
Well, you know, as long as it's five stars, I don't care.
Five stars, whatever.
Yeah, you can write whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, not whatever you want.
Well, all right.
So let's back off that.
That's fair. Yeah. That was a mistake.
Yes. So also swing on by our Facebook page and click like, join the League of Show Sharers group, and chat with us.
Good conversations, man. Like, there's some good stuff going on over there.
Occasionally.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. So there. That's all.
I oversold it, apparently.
Yeah. So there we've done our house cleaning. And we will now dig into the movie proper.
So, do you have any affinity for this franchise at all?
I'm familiar with the porn parody Womb Raider.
Fair enough. Fair enough. No, I think... No,
I don't think this is based on any of that.
No. But, like, did you...
No.
Okay.
So, the game was released in 1996, and it was critically acclaimed.
It was a good game.
It broke records. It is considered one of the best... I mean, these reboots are amazing, but the thing is, you have to remember, in 96... there weren't a lot of games like this. Like, it was groundbreaking for the time. And so it had puzzle elements, like around the same time Resident Evil was out. Mm-hmm. So you had that, except this isn't a horror. It's an adventure.
It's Indiana Jones.
And so you're doing that third person thing. And like Resident Evil was like, rotate 360 degrees, walk forward, rotate three.
Resident Evil was more of like a survival horror game.
But do you remember how slow Resident Evil 1 was?
Remember.
Okay, because the new ones are action based.
Yeah.
But the old one was like you literally had to rotate and you could only walk forward. There's no diagonal.
Right.
Back, forth, and rotate. And so this game, you know, took puzzle elements but gave it the action. She's doing flips, she's shooting two guns, all that stuff. So it sold over 7 million copies.
In 1996.
Yeah, it became
which is nuts.
Became a bestseller. Critics loved it. I remember playing it on Sega Saturn and PC.
Because I think you may have been like one of 50 people that had a
Sega Saturn.
Saturn
was a great console. But it was one of the highest grossing or one of the top sellers of the PlayStation, the original PlayStation
for sure.
of all time.
That's what I played it on.
So it received a ton of awards.
That's right, kids. There were PlayStations before the 4.
Yeah, right.
There were three
iterations.
You know
that whole number thing? Right. Yeah. So anyway, it was a phenomenon.
And our
though,
controllers
that,
had cords.
Yeah, that was.
Dang it.
Yeah, yes, they did. So it's interesting. So I was reading a little bit about it, the game. And so the
how many of the original were there? How many Tomb Raiders were there before the reboot?
It went up to
three,
I think, and then there maybe were some like little offshoots. But okay. I feel like there was a
just
like
the crossover
Tomb Raider
with Leisure Suit Larry.
I feel like there was like Tomb Raider 3, and okay. then there were maybe some other little things, and they always remaster them, and re-release
too.
Them, and
there was a comic.
Oh,
for
gotcha.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So
from the makers of Cherry Pop Tart.
Well, it was Michael Turner. If I mean, for you comic nerds out there, you know how he drew women. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was that.
So it's interesting. So the developer Eidos, they recorded a 2.6 million pre-tax loss the year before this came out.
Okay,
and then the next year when Tomb Raider came out, they had a 14.5 million profit. So just to show you how the game saved that studio,
right.
and you know, brought them a ton of money, and obviously it spun into all those different games on all the platforms, all the reboots and remasters. Two movies with Angelina Jolie.
One good, one all right, one not good at all.
The rebooted game series, which is on its second, and they just announced the third.
Man, that, so like, obviously you people listening have played those new ones. Like, if you are into Uncharted, like, oh, that's yeah. basically what it is.
They're
just
amazing.
With the girl.
The story
like,
is
Lara
amazing.
Croft, yeah.
And, I mean, if you're watching this movie and you've played the games, like,
yeah.
there's a lot of stuff straight out of there
yep.
that it's amazing in the games. Like,
it's one of, it's, I will, I'm just going to get, I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. Like, it's this might be one of the best video game to movie adaptations.
I think this may be the best video. I'm not saying
now,
this movie's perfect.
Now, granted, that bar
very
is
right.
super low.
Very low.
As Doug Stanhope would say, it's like being the prettiest Denny's waitress.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But seriously, though, I mean, I love movies like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Double Dragon, bad movies that are just fun. They're deep fried tacos.
Right.
But this may very well be the best video game movie ever made.
I don't know, Resident Evil. That first Resident Evil is a really good, pretty good movie. The first one, the next 12 or however.
I mean, I enjoy that first one. Yeah, you're a horror guy, so yeah. I bet you would swing that way. But you know, this is up there. And,
oh sure, absolutely.
But yeah, the third game is they you know coinciding around the release of this movie. They just announced the third game, and they're going to drop a trailer for it. But anyway, the Tomb Raider franchise, it's just a lot of people may only be familiar with the new games, and mm-hmm. they are wonderful, but. Back in 96, you know, this was revolutionary for
yep.
games, and this character was huge.
She was.
And so it's just interesting to see it evolve, right? To see this character evolve from the PlayStation 1 graphics
yeah.
to the cinematic graphics
to
of the game.
I mean, it's Uncharted.
Yeah.
They saw the excessive the success of Uncharted and just like, don't we have this exact same character? And they're just like, we do. Can we just redo this? We can.
Yeah,
and they did.
They are very similar, and they're both great,
yeah.
great franchises. So this movie, if you've played the first game of the reboots,
it's you've seen
that.
This movie, yeah.
But I think
is the captain in the movie in the game?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
but
dude needed to be Iron Fist.
Yeah,
like. Of all, like
he
that,
was BA.
He was great.
That fight scene where he's like fighting and shoot, like
yeah.
close quarters combat.
I think he was in Into the Badlands. I think he's the main character on that AMC.
Okay,
like. Future samurai show.
Okay,
I know
yeah,
that
he's been.
In,
he's been
in
a couple.
Say that, but like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the same guy.
He's been in some stuff. I definitely
him lot,
recognized
yeah.
him. Yeah. But yeah. So if you, I think it works on two different levels. If you haven't played the games, they use a lot of stuff from the games that are very effective and
mm-hmm.
why people love the games. And if you have played the games, I think they do a good job of paying homage without winking at you until the very last after credits
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
Where that's straight fan service. But throughout the movie, like, even playing the games, I'm like, that was really cool in the game, and that looks really cool in real life. Like,
so this guy, what did she win an Academy Award?
I don't think so.
Was she nominated?
No. I don't know. I mean, she
I
was really
like,
good in Ex Machina, but I don't think that.
I feel like she, like, there was some prestige behind her. That may have happened. I don't remember. Either way.
Yeah. She hasn't won an Academy Award.
Okay.
But
she didn't win for the Bourne movie.
I would give her an Academy Award for how she got into shape for this movie.
She was
like,
she was ripped out for sure.
If you're going to have a Lara Croft, like, I mean,
okay. So we should say the original Lara Croft, was not built like this. Right. Like, she was built like Angelina Jolie.
Right. That
like,
casting
that
was perfect.
Movie, in that first movie.
Well, I think they even kind of...
They based it off of her,
They kind of poofed up Angelina Jolie for the movie.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
that's,
they enhanced digitally some aspects of Angelina. Like her lips. That's what we're talking about.
Sure.
On her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we'll say.
But that casting's pretty darn good. Like, that is how Lara Croft looked in the games. Like,
so
when you see
Angelina
Jolie, you're like, yes,
that's
exactly
what she looked like. In the reboot, they slim her down. Like, she's not as busty.
Right.
Whatever.
She's
an athlete. Like, she's built like an athlete.
Yes. She's like UFC fighter build, right? Yeah. Like, it's crazy to think, like, to get into that good of shape, how hard she had to work for it. And she looks awesome
on
screen, right? Like, she's kicking ass. And what I really like about this movie is that it's an origin story. Like, I mean, it's not like we've seen it 100 times, right?
No.
But she's not a superhero in this. So in the first game, she's got dual pistols. She's shooting people left and right, doing side flips and stuff, right? In this movie...
I think it sets the tone from the opening scene that she's not a superhero. In the very first scene, she loses a fight.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
she's not the, what's the term that people use? Is it the Mary Sue?
Well, that's being saved.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
So, but she's not like, she's not automatically good at everything.
Yeah, but I just mean.
From Jump Street.
Right. She's not overpowered.
She's fallible? That's the right word, right?
She's an everyman.
Yeah.
She's John McClane in Die Hard.
That's
exactly what I thought of.
Yep.
So
she's Indiana Jones.
Yeah. So in the first game, she's again doing flips, dual pistols, whatever. And this one, we see her kill someone for the first time.
Yeah.
So like she's not that explorer with the guns ready to fight. And I really like that. You see her lose a fight. You see her get knocked on her ass. You see her, you know,
she's bleeding. She's beat up.
But she's tough. She stands up for herself, even though she's not a superhero or not automatically the best fighter or whatnot. Like she's strong and she doesn't give up. And so I really like the way that they wrote the character, and I like the progression. Towards the end of the movie, obviously, she does gain her skills
quite a bit. Yeah,
but so does John McClane. John McClane's jumping out windows on a fire hose. You know what I mean? So. But it really reminded me of that. And so I liked seeing her origin start off that way instead of just being, I don't remember the first Angelina Jolie movie, but I'm guessing she was kick-ass from the get in that. You didn't see Angelina Jolie getting knocked on her ass. Like she was
that wouldn't have
dual pistol kick, you know.
Yeah, like short shorts, thigh holsters, and like a blue crop top.
Yeah, so I really like how they handled it. And I think Alicia... Vikander. I think the casting was perfect. She looked like
the
Lara Croft out of the reboot.
Yeah, she looks just like her.
Same outfit, but they really made the build right, and like she got incredible shape. So kudos to her.
She's also surrounded by a cast that lifts her up a little bit. Like they elevate her
and separates.
And nope. No, because remember, she's not as busy.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
We're not doing that, Lara Croft.
Right. But I mean, like, everybody around her is really good.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got Dominic West, who, if you haven't seen The Wire, that's really the only Dominic West thing I can point you towards.
The Affair on Showtime.
Oh, is that good?
It's a soap opera, but
it
works.
Is it as good as The Wire?
No.
All right.
Punisher
Warzone.
I will have to say that I absolutely detested him in this movie.
Oh, really?
I couldn't stand him.
I thought
he was so miscast.
Interesting.
Could not
stand
a minute when he was on screen.
Well, don't worry, because he's not in it for long.
Yeah.
No,
he's in it for quite a bit.
Is he?
He comes back at the end for a good chunk.
At least the last third of the movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
I hated all the father-daughter stuff was cheesy. I didn't have any patience for it.
I was fine with it. Like
I liked it because it set up the character. Why she's good at archery. Why like it
I mean,
really...
I get what they were doing. I just didn't think it was done well.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Like for me, this was a moderately effective action film.
I would say it was more than mod. Like I got a kick out of it. I thought it took itself a little bit too seriously.
Yeah. It's not perfect. I think the action scenes were great. I think the adaptation.
Some of them were.
Well,
yeah. We'll get there, but the final stuff was like so dark, I couldn't see it.
There was one scene where I was like, nope.
Like, I mean, her out in the jungle action sequences
were
awesome.
Where she slides under like the spinny spike thing.
That part was cool.
Oh, I didn't like
that
at all.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that's what, you know, but it's like a lot of that stuff was so dark.
Yeah.
you couldn't hardly see it.
That's fair.
But I think it was a good adaptation of the character, especially the modern one we're used to. I have some problems with the writing. I think there were definitely some parts with really bad writing. I think there were some bad Deus Ex Machina in the movie. The script definitely has its faults, but for a video game adaptation, for an action movie with a kick-ass female lead, I mean, she was awesome. Like, I enjoyed it. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I do think they have something there.
We talk about franchises, and this was one of those times where I was like, I kind of want to see more of this character. Like, I would like to see her further adventure.
Yeah.
As much as like a sequel, like I wouldn't mind seeing her and the other guy, like as a team, like tracking down.
Yeah,
stuff.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Whatever. Yeah,
the captain of the boat.
Yeah,
yeah, he was really good. I kept thinking like a drunken master is what I was thinking
kind
of
like I was kind of worried that he was gonna be like, oh, by the way, I'm a quadruple black belt in, you know, Jeet Kune Do.
Yeah.
And all of it. It's like, well, all right, let's not go to Hong Kong and get the one Asian guy that also speaks.
I believe they're in Japan.
Are they?
I think so. I think they said that because
they
talk
China.
About speaking Japanese. And,
oh, they did, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's not get the one Japanese guy who's also has no Japanese accent.
He's a samurai.
Yeah.
He's
oh, yeah, samurai. Right. Samurai. Sorry. That also like speaks fluent English, has no accent whatsoever, but you know.
He was really good though. I thought
no, he was
yeah,
great.
He was kick ass. I would have liked to have seen him in some more fight scenes because that.
Just recast that Finn Jones guy and be like, we made a mistake. Iron Fist season 2 is this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I would at this point I would take it because I remember I watched The Defenders and he is definitely the weakest part.
It sucks because like The Defenders is good. Like I liked that show.
Yeah,
that
I didn't care about any. I'm like, oh, get this guy off the screen, moping around.
Yeah.
Just get.
He was not good.
So dumb. So
anyway, okay. So does the movie start with the flashback of him leaving? Is that how it starts?
I honestly don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's the flashback of like Dominic West plays Mr. Croft, and he's like going on another adventure. Like we don't know what he's doing because there's no indication as to what, like they have the Croft consolidations or whatever the company is. But
we're start off with her and her. I remember the delivery. No, it wasn't.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
She's doing. She at the boxing gym is where it starts.
Yeah, I remember the boxing gym first.
And then she goes to do the delivery.
Okay, so she's in an MMA fighting a gym.
Yeah,
and she's holding her own for a minute, and then she gets choked out.
Yeah,
basically. So she sits down and like you're given a good indication of this character, pretty much from the go where she's not quitting.
She's resilient.
She realizes she has to quit, or otherwise she's gonna.
Yeah,
Be choked out, but also like she's funny, like she's kind of down on her luck. She doesn't have a lot of money, so like the gym guy is like, if you don't pay, you don't play. And she's like, I'll get it, I swear. But like she's eating his apple, and like she's eating an apple, and then all of a sudden here comes the coach. He's like, who's got my apple? And she quickly turns around.
Yeah,
and she was like, what am I supposed to do? Like, come on.
So yeah, there was stuff like this where I'm like, he just barged into the women's locker room.
So I feel like it's just a locker room. That's the way I took it. It's
you
just
think
like,
that they only have one locker room?
I think it looked like a
where the women are showering.
I think
and
it's
getting...
a. They never said there were showers in there. There was locker.
Well, just saying it's a locker room. It's not a big point, but I'm like things like that where I'm like, he just busted into the women's locker room. They could all be naked.
Yeah,
it's just really weird revolving door.
Like, to me, that was like a dingy little gross gym.
I agree with that.
That maybe only had one locker room.
Maybe.
And he was just like, yeah,
that's crazy.
You stole my apple. So then we see she's a Postmates basically.
She's like, I'm not wearing this delivery backpack
for fun.
Yeah,
right.
I'll get your money.
So she goes to like the local Indian restaurant and she picks up. And of course the guy just can't talk to her. And I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, she's a very beautiful woman. I totally get it. You also don't want to strike out in front of your parents. Like that would be super awkward.
The parents were like, go on.
Yeah.
Like, it was cute.
He's just
scene.
Like, oh, can't do it.
Yeah.
And then, I thought it was a really cute way to establish that she was attractive without being creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh sure,
you know what I mean.
Sure,
that, like,
because
the guy, like, you could tell that, like, the guy had been working with her for a while.
Right,
he really likes her.
His parents
know
are just like,
and are like, come on, ask her out. Like,
right.
You know that it took it out of that kind of like just creepy, ogling.
Like the guy that you pick up food from randomly.
Yeah, it wasn't just like guys whistling at her when she walks down the street. It was like this guy like genuinely liked her.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad that they established she was attractive, because that first scene in the boxing gym where she just had a sports bra on, I didn't know. But this establishing scene
with washboard abs.
Yeah, this scene really sold it. And I'm like, she's attractive. Good,
so, but
we did
like,
it.
So I think there is a certain, there's a certain way to carry that character. Like, you can carry it like Angelina Jolie did, mm-hmm. or you can do this where she's like, where like she's not the mean girl, where she I feel like she wouldn't see herself as like supermodel hot.
Sure.
She's just like a girl, you know, like just a chick, and like that doesn't even register in her mind.
She's very much, again, I just think of like John McClane. She's very much the everyman. I mean, she's in great shape, but she isn't the self-aware supermodel that whatever. She is, she's more of a regular person than a superhero, supermodel, and I think that's what makes the character so delightful.
That's the,
and,
that's the fear, though, for me in the second one, is well, they're going to make that jump to a superhero. But if they keep her as like, I can be hurt, I can, you know, like...
They won't, though. She's got those guns now. Like, she's a superhero.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's why the second one's going to suck.
I mean, hopefully they rein it in a little, but you can tell.
Yeah.
And obviously, we'll get there at the end, but, like, they're setting it up now, and as the movie progressed, again, like we talked about earlier, it's like she gets her abilities with very little training in this type of work. I mean, she gets like, she goes from Fast and Furious 1 to 7 within this movie. And so it's fun, but like as far as the character goes, it's like I really liked it when she was getting knocked on her ass, but picking herself back
up. She's pulling like shards of wood out of her stomach. I was like, that's legit. Like that would hurt a lot.
Straight out of the game.
Yeah. Right. So she's delivering the food or whatever. She goes back to the bike messengers and they're just talking about this game called like the Fox, and the premise of this game is they're all bike messengers and they're all on the bikes, and there's one person that is like the Fox, and what they do, they put a
fox hunt. So it's like, you know, like when they used to release a fox in the olden days, and they would go with their hounds and try to catch
to find it.
It's like for sporting, but it's for bikes, and and you get a reward,
and you can, if the fox gets away, they get $6,000 quid. Which I was like, well, all right, like we're in London, I get it, okay.
And this also established that she's a fox.
Yes, it does. That's true.
That's for the older viewers.
Oh, she's a fox.
She's a fox. Yeah, they did
now
that. Yeah,
I get it.
I get it. So she's like, yeah, I'll do it. And they're just like, what? He's like, yeah, it's not a problem, I'll do it. So they go on this big old bike chase throughout London. She thinks she sees her dad. Like, she maneuvers the way out of a car, and then she gets crushed by a police car. Like, she goes ass over tea kettle.
Did anyone else think that like she had a very small head start? Like, they,
yeah,
for, I like 2 seconds I'm like, let her get away for
she had a small head start and a huge can of paint.
Yeah
That's true. That's a good point. I was thinking, like, maybe if it's a little hole, but
yeah,
the guy took like a screwdriver,
right,
and like shoved a screwdriver.
I was like, God,
hole.
They took off right after she started. Give her a second. And I'm also like, man, I feel bad for that guy in the truck, where the whole bed of the truck is green with paint because she does do a little.
Well, they don't say that, like, she jumps on the back of
a
truck.
A Marty McFly.
And yeah, right, exactly. Right. And I'm assuming as she's sitting there, that paint can is just leaking neon green paint into the back of
all
this guy's
truck.
All
over his furniture that he's transporting
right.
I'm like, it's just funny as you get older. Like, obviously, I'm sure most of the kids in the theater, you know, are
like,
not thinking of
funny.
The paint in the truck.
Right.
We're thinking, I'm like, that guy's truck is really.
So this is the part, one of these parts that I did find kind of weird, is that, like, she gets arrested. And I was like, but the cop hit her. Like, she didn't do anything wrong.
I guess they can take you in and let you. I mean, I don't.
I still think that she was street racing, weaving
on
out of
bikes?
Traffic.
That's not illegal.
No, I think it's illegal.
Oh,
is
I'm
it?
Sure you can't.
She's
just
still,
be.
I mean, the bikes are still supposed to
obey traffic.
Obey the traffic rules.
Yeah, okay.
She probably ran the red and hit, you know what I mean?
No, well, she. I don't think she did, because, like, it doesn't matter.
She did, Joe.
But she's weaving in and out of traffic.
Correct.
And, like, she's
zipping through, like, a restaurant and, like,
I mean, she's endangering motorists.
Right. Yeah. So she goes, like,
she has a guardian.
Yeah.
Gets her out, and we learn that is running this company that the dad left behind.
Croft Consolidations.
Did you guys pick up? So I was a little unclear all the way up. Still, and after the very end of the movie, so, like, they mentioned she can't pay for her boxing gym. She's poor,
she's refusing to.
I get that she won't say the dad's dead, but, like, she doesn't have any money.
No, yeah. She has to. So it's all tied up in the corporation. Like, she can't have access to it because technically her father is still alive.
So the heads of the corporation can't give her a job and pay her because they know it's her company.
I took it as she was too proud.
Okay,
like, I'm not going to live off of my father's money. I'm not going to live off of his legacy.
Right. That's what I'm
and I'm not going to declare him dead and accept the inheritance.
I get the dead thing and the inheritance, but I just meant like she is poor, and it's like no one is helping her, knowing that like she's the daughter, and like giving her even like a quote unquote job. But
I feel like she refuses the money.
That's a fine explanation. I just was like, this just seems a little fishy that she would be poor in this case.
Right.
I know she doesn't own the company,
but
like a lot of people, and it's different when Iron Fist. Did you watch Iron Fist on Netflix? That terrible show.
Yeah.
So Danny Rand. There's
literally
evil people.
One of my favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
Top five favorite Marvel characters of all time.
But there are evil people running the Rand Corporation that want to keep Danny. So he comes back and you're like, no, he's dead. You're not Danny. That's different. These people are like, Laura, we love you.
Yeah.
You need to sign this paper. So you get my, like, people know she's the daughter, are happy to sign the company to her if she wanted it.
The scene that I do love is where she, so like we fast forward a little bit and we get, she's going to the boardroom and she walks in and the guy's like, da, 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 hey, messengers around back. And she was like, actually, I've got a meeting with Anna, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, right on, messengers are around back. And he was just like, she's like, no, seriously, I have a meeting. She's like, what's your name? And she was like, Laura Croft. Yeah. And the guy like just kind of looks up at her and he was
like gulp.
Those
are always fun scenes.
Head on up. She's like, thanks.
Yep.
So she goes to the boardroom and
he gives her Jenga.
Yeah. Right. And he, you know, finally, I think she's about to sign the papers. Just because we're 7 years out from the last time she has seen her dad.
And if she doesn't sign them,
it all just kind of goes away. Right.
Like
and the gal's just like, you don't want everything your father worked for to get sold off in like, you know, a fire sale, basically. Yeah.
But she sees this Jenga.
Well,
and
he gives it to her. He's like, actually, so he pulls this.
I feel like he wasn't going to give it to her, but she kind of spotted it, and then she takes it, and he's like, you're not supposed to have that until you sign it.
And she works the puzzle. So it's kind of like I love those National Treasure movies. Like I like
the
both
first
of,
one.
I like both of them.
A lot of fun. The second one was a snooze.
Oh,
but
I liked them both. Like I've always liked those little like, you know, puzzles. Like,
well, this is what I like about the movie because the games were puzzle games.
Right.
They weren't just shoot 'em up. So like Uncharted is a great representation of modern day what Tomb Raider started because in Uncharted you're running around, you have guns, you're doing all that, but you're also going
to
statues, turning statues, reading, picking up notes, observing things, right? So Tomb Raider again was very revolutionary in that kind of an action game. I mean, there were games like Myst and there in The Seventh Guest, there were games that were puzzles. But there weren't action shooter games.
They were just
puzzles. There was horror puzzles in Resident Evil. But like this was so different. And the movie really captures what made those games great. I'm like, oh, she's doing puzzles.
He was Indiana Jones. Like that's what it's a revamped Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It's a video game, more shooter action packed. Yeah. At least the first one was.
My complaint about the puzzles in this movie was that you really couldn't play along.
No, that's true.
Did you ever feel that way with National Treasure?
I'm trying to remember.
So, like, the first one is the Declaration of Independence.
I felt like I could with the first one to some degree, but the second one, no, and that's why I didn't like the second one as much.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mind it so much because, like, when I watch Sherlock Holmes, he's so brilliant. Like, I'm not following Sherlock Holmes. He just does it, and I'm like, wow, he's good. That's how I felt with her. I'm like, oh, she's figuring this stuff out.
But with Sherlock Holmes, when it's done right, is when he solves it, he uses things that were in front of you to where you could be like, oh, okay, I could have done that.
Right.
I just didn't.
Gotcha.
Where this is like, I don't have the information to solve this puzzle.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Do you solve puzzles with Indiana Jones?
But Indiana Jones doesn't solve puzzles.
He doesn't?
I mean, he
has to like do the weight
in the very
thing.
Beginning with the
the grail you could solve.
How?
Right, I mean, he figures out a penitent man should be on his knees. Like you could surmise that. You can see the connection of how he solved that puzzle.
Right,
like, but with this, like, it just didn't.
Yeah, there wasn't. She was twisting a Jenga block around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't mind it, but I get that.
Even later when she's in the tomb and she's like putting the colors on, I'm just like,
oh, you figured that out.
I couldn't figure out what the hell was
but
going
the
on.
The clues were there.
But we knew.
There was a riddle.
Yeah. Because they said, like,
life, the color of life. Green.
And they just couldn't.
You combine all
out.
The colors to make green. Like, so that
Is
was
that
there.
What they were doing? I did not get any of that from what was going on.
Yeah, so, like, it's in the book, or it's in the. they're reading it and they're just like, you need the color of life. It's all over, it's a
riddle. Yeah. It's a puzzle. Yeah. And then she figures it out.
She was just like, oh, of course I'm an idiot, and uses the yellow and the blue and makes green. Bam, we're done.
Like the Ziploc bags.
Just like the Ziploc
yellow
bags.
Yellow, blue, make green.
But didn't they change it to where, like, you can feel it click?
I think so.
Like, that's how you know.
Screw those. I use the thing with the lock on top. I love that. Seriously, because those little things, if they're wet or whatever.
Money bags, I know.
They are expensive, but you know when the tab is pulled.
You know what? I use the ones that are just straight up clear.
The dollar store ones that are just clear.
And pray that they're actually together. All of a sudden, I make pancakes, and now they've got frost, freezer burn on them.
Treat yourself.
Nope.
Get the little locks at the top. Nope, it is a delight when you close it and you're like, it is closed. There's no.
Treat yourself. I love that.
So she stumbles upon.
She finds a key.
Yeah.
And inside.
To follow,
like,
along this, the first letter of the
first letter
of his final place.
I
knew. I'm like, oh, she's going to his grave.
Right. Well, I thought she was going to the mausoleum for sure. I just didn't know. Like,
well, right.
You know what I always find weird in movies like this is when you know some, like in comic books too, like, you know somebody has died, but they never give you the date that they died. Like, if you look at that, like, you
it's
can
the year,
the year, right, right, right. You could, but you don't know when her mom died.
They don't want to date the film.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they don't want the film to be.
I do, like, in comic books. You see, like, you know, Clark Kent looking at the Daily Planet. He always has his thumb over the year.
Yeah. Remember, Superman's been 29 years old for 75 years.
I say he's 33.
Okay.
Yeah, like Jesus.
Like Jesus, right. Yeah.
Remember those Dave Chappelle specials that just came out on Netflix last year?
Yeah.
They were filmed 7 years ago or whatever?
No, they weren't.
Yeah. That's why they don't try to get too topical, because, like, he sold those years after. He's been sitting on those.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's not like, oh, Dave Chappelle's back for the first time ever.
But those first ones were new, right?
No, those first, they're new, but he was sitting on them, and Netflix bought them for a bundle of money. So, like, he'd been doing stand-up and touring and whatever.
So that's why
years.
There were so many references to Swatch Guards.
I think those ones that came out first, I think those were both filmed recently. He is jacked.
They talked about the deal. They talked about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, when it came out, they're like, you know, he makes $50 million from three specials or whatever. And, like, they talked about when they were filmed. I mean, they were in the can for years.
Huh.
So I'm just saying, like, there's certain things that they do in these things to not date them because,
sure.
You know,
no,
or they edit around.
I always find
or,
it funny because, like, she walks in front of her mother's crypt and, like, just happens to stand right in front of the, it says 19, and then she's like right in front of it. She's like, all right,
pretty soon they're gonna have to start hiding that too.
It's got to be to start doing 2000s.
Getting old.
I know. So yeah, she finds it, you know. She's, it's funny, I was just watching Captain America where he's got, like, the World Tree, and he pushes the little button in the World Tree and the cosmic cube comes out, the Tesseract.
Better be sorry.
Yeah. So she opens it up, and of course this whole thing opens up, and she walks downstairs, and it's like this. It turns out her dad wasn't just a boardroom guy. Like, he was
Indiana Jones.
He was Indiana Jones, basically.
Like,
or I think he was more so. Alan Quartermain is kind of who, like,
and remind me what that means.
He's who Indiana Jones was based on.
Okay.
Like, the idea is that
old timey reference.
I know, from me, from the 36-year-old. So, like, I think the idea of the third Indiana Jones, I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure Sean Connery was Alan Quartermain.
Oh,
and, like,
interesting.
That's why
okay.
he was.
They kind of based him off. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't actually, now I think about it, he's Alan Quartermain in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
That's what that is.
Okay.
For sure. I know. Yeah. Cause they were like, you can come back and you can be kind of like Indiana Jones, and then that movie was a piece of garbage.
Do you know anything about Alan Quartermain?
Quartermain in the Lost City of
Gold?
Was
Sean Connery supposed to be like an Alan Quartermain character in the third Indiana Jones movie?
I don't know. I didn't think of him as an adventurer.
I thought he was, though.
I thought he was more of like a book guy, and he was like, duh, like,
oh,
you know.
But yeah, they made two Alan Quartermain movies
with
Richard
Chamberlain.
And it was,
Sharon Stone in one of those?
Maybe. It was, and it was a direct reaction to Indiana Jones.
Right,
it was
right,
so popular.
Right.
And that was,
I think Sharon Stone was in the first one.
And I remember they filmed them both at the same time. That's why you got two of them, because the first one didn't do anything at all. It was just Alan.
Well, those are Canon movies. That's what it is. Yeah. Those are Canon films.
It was the first one is King Solomon's Mines.
Yeah,
and then the second one is Alan Quatermain and the Lost City of Gold.
Right.
And but they filmed them back to back.
The old Superman Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Gimmick.
Back to the Future 2 and 3.
That's right. Yeah, but they knew they were doing that.
Well, yeah.
And Superman and Three Musketeers, they did not know they were filming. Yeah. Two movies.
Well, and same.
Right.
Producers, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Alan Quatermain thing, they knew that. They were making 2 movies. Okay. That wasn't a secret.
Oh,
they didn't
pull
a fast one.
But I'm pretty sure he was Alan Quatermain in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I've never seen
it. Well, either way, her dad was
her dad's
out there
Indiana Jones.
Indiana
like,
Jones
doing the thing.
Yeah.
So he's like.
Doing the it's popular in that.
Yeah, that's right. Who was that? Who did those commercials? Was it Mel Torme? Did Mel Torme do the Mountain Dew commercials?
No idea.
I'm almost positive he did.
I think he did something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So she finds an old video, like
bothered me.
Well,
it wasn't plugged in. No battery lasts for 10
neither
years.
Neither did the, what you didn't say crap about the battery in Annihilation.
What do you mean?
There was the exact same video camera
but they
in
didn't,
Annihilation.
But they weren't gone. There was a time jump thing there.
Okay,
that was
that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also there was an alien technology at play.
That's right.
That could have been doing God knows what.
Right. That's fair.
I mean, I know these are little things, but I'm like, why would you not leave it plugged into the wall? Like she picks it up, and I'm like, the dad's been gone that long. I know
seven
how batteries
years.
Work.
Right.
That even if you're not using them, a battery does not sit there
for
charged
7 years.
For 7 years. It just doesn't.
Right.
So I'm like, come on, plug the thing in. Like someone is smart enough on set to be like, yeah, we should just plug it in.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as she watched, of course, it says, play me. And she was like, well, what's the worst that
and
could
she
happen?
Eats it, which yeah, right. No, that's all wrong. That's all wrong.
Don't ever play Dragon's Lair with this girl.
So she watches the tape and the dad's just like, well, if you're watching this. Like, I'm dead, so sorry about that.
Or you're really nosy.
Yeah, stay out of my stuff.
Right.
Don't
go through your mom's dresser drawer.
Whatever you do. So she's
she really likes Roger Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit, I guess, would be more, but I don't know.
She uses Jessica Rabbit, but she likes Roger Rabbit. Right.
So he's like, there's this whole box of stuff, and you need to burn it, all of it. Like don't
just porn.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like don't go through my search history. Just burn it. Whatever you do, just burn it. And of course, the first thing she does is like, well, what do you got in here? What's going
on? So, of course, the whole point of this movie is she doesn't think the dad's dead. She's not
right.
signing the thing.
She refuses to admit that the dad's
and
dead.
And so now he's obviously his last journey was whatever was in this box and on this tape. And so she doesn't destroy it. And she uses
his journal. She sell, which I like.
Goes through the old emails and sees where he was going,
right.
And who he was dealing with.
I enjoy Nick Frost in this movie.
Like,
he was
great.
I forget how much I love that guy because I haven't seen him in forever.
He was so good. When I saw him pop up, it was so random, and I just thought he was fantastic.
Right.
I love
so,
it.
So the dad. I guess the opening scene is the dad giving her the medallion. I think.
Okay, yeah, because I remember she has the little
jade medallion where she's like, you know, if so she goes to this. She knows that she can't sell it.
She has no money. And so
she can't go to like a big jeweler.
Right.
Because it'll attract too much attention to what she's trying to do.
When she needs quick money, like those things they're going to examine, they're going to send to auction.
Right.
Right.
So she goes to a little pawn shop, which is owned
and
by
she even
Nick
says,
Frost.
She's like, that's why I'm not at Sotheby's.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's worth a lot, but it's your lucky it's day. Give me 10 grand.
10 grand.
It's really funny how he does this.
And they're going back and forth and like his wife comes out and she's like, are you flirting? He's like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm not flirting. I'm totally flirting. Yeah. So like she's like it's from my dead dad and he was like, oh, that sounds so terrible. The price is now $9,000.
Yeah.
And she's just like, wait, he's like, do you have any idea how often I get it's my dead dad's last thing in here all the
and
time?
He's like, now it's 8.
Right.
So
she's
she
like,
ah, oh,
fine.
And then I really like how she knocked his coffee.
Yeah, she uses
him.
She's like pounds on the glass. He's like, uh-huh.
It's good writing.
That's
it's
why
good
it's here. And she takes like the pen that's attached and just like pokes his. She's like, oh, I got hot coffee all over my giblets.
Just in case or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And she was like, and she puts it down. She takes the money.
It's good. It's a good little scene.
I forget how much how funny he is.
Oh, yeah.
Because he hasn't, like, at least in my viewings of things, like, he was in all the Simon Pegg stuff.
Yeah. He's in a lot of just little roles aside from the Simon Pegg
he
films.
He was in
but...
the Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, yeah. As one of the non-dwarf dwarfs. Yeah. But no, he was good.
It was like a good little 5-minute comic relief moment.
So they go to the docks,
they
and she's trying to find this guy that sold her dad a boat.
She flies, yeah, right. So she's one of the things I always like the Angelina Jolie Lara Croft is like she was a she had everything, right? Like, she was super smart. She could speak different languages. So what I liked about this...
She was the rich version, right?
Right, right, right.
So in Tomb Raider, you're rich, and you have a mansion.
Yes.
You go... You know, I mean, you are rich.
She's
you
already... She's yeah. signed the papers,
if you
will. There's
no dad thing in the old one. So, like, she's rich. No. She has guns. She kicks ass. Like,
right. And she's smart. She'd gone to, like, Oxford, and she has... She knows all these different languages. Where in this one, she's kind of fumbling her way...
Yeah.
through this.
And like, I like it. I just think a character that we haven't seen a proper... I mean, maybe that first one's fun. I don't know. I don't have any
can't
affinity.
Even remember seeing those.
Yeah, but like for a proper film that looks good and you know the writing is the next level from just a cheesy action movie, I like seeing an origin story with a real hero because we just get into so many movies nowadays where, like the Fast and Furious, where I'm like, I mean, I now that they're owning it, I'm liking them more. But when they first started doing it and Vin Diesel is breaking through a windshield with a wrench in his hand or whatever, I'm just like, you know, I saw the first five of these. Like, where did this
come
from? You know?
Isn't five where they make the turn? Isn't five the turn where they're just like, oh, we're going to go? Or is it six?
I think six is where it goes full.
What's the airplane one? Is that six?
Six.
So five is the first five.
Five is good. I like five.
Five
is when
they
go
bring
to
everybody back together.
They go to Brazil.
Yeah,
like I like that one. Fine. Five is fun because
six is the first one with The Rock.
I don't know, but anyway, my point is, I like it when we're meeting a character. I think it's kind of fun to see how they became a badass.
Six is Luke Evans.
Okay, yeah. And so right. I like how they've built her up, and so we see this running on the docks where. You know, she's sitting there looking for boats and these three guys come up and they're like, are you lost? You know, and they seem foreign. They're like, you lost, pretty lady.
Right.
And so they're looking at the map. She's like, I need to find this guy's boat. The guy nabs her backpack and they're running through Chinatown or wherever they are.
They're just running through the docks.
They're on boats.
I like this scene a lot, but I have one major complaint about it is that it was shot in so much in close up that I never could really get the kind of scope of how cool it was that they were jumping from boat to dock to boat to dock and like how it was all kind of packed in so tight.
I agree.
And that you never kind of knew where you were going to land.
Right.
Like once I figured out that's what they were doing, it was cool, but it was just shot in such a weird way that it really undermined the action.
It's tough because we had so many great action scenes shot like that, like the the opening scene of Casino Royale, some of the Bourne stuff where it's like they pull back and like they do like that overhead shot,
right,
where you see everything kind of moving on the
there
board,
needed to
if
be
you will.
Some shots of that to kind of establish the framework,
like how tight everything
the plane
was
board.
And,
I think it's because Alicia Vikander did her own stunts and she's not a stuntman, and so I'm guessing there were limitations with editing because of her doing it. I'm not saying it's the right or wrong cause, but I think that's probably why they had to be a little closer. It worked for me. I don't have a complaint about that
scene.
Once
I was with you, I'm with you, though.
Like, I'm like, that's cool. They're jumping through the boats.
They were showing you how tight it was and how that made sense.
I liked it. It was a clever idea, something we haven't seen. I won't go as far as say ever, but not often. You've probably seen variations of car
Casino
tops
Royale,
and stuff
the
like
opening
that.
Scene of Casino Royale is the only thing that they're running through like
the building. That opening scene of Casino Royale, it was
that movie
amazing.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
But like, no, there's on that scene where aren't they running through like a market? Isn't there?
There's in Jumanji that we just saw. I mean, it's similar to that.
Yeah, but I think in the opening scene, like maybe they're driving in the market.
I feel like it goes from the market to the building.
To the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because there's lots of parkour.
So they
we better get out of the first 10 minutes of
I
this
know,
movie.
Yeah. So she gets on the boat and the guy, you know, he kind of saves her.
She ends up getting her bag back. She's a badass. But then the guy pulls a knife on her. She runs onto the boat, which she spots is the boat that belongs to
the guy her dad
was emailing. And so she gets on there and the guy wakes up who we like, this actor.
Yeah.
With a shotgun.
I should probably look up this guy's name.
Yeah. And he scares them off. And then he's like, what are you doing on my boat? Turns the gun on her. She starts leaving and then he is drunk. So he falls off the ledge,
building,
which I thought was funny. I'm like, wow, that was quite the, you know, that was quite the fall. And so she ends up waking him up and is like, you need to, my father tried to buy a boat from you. And you need to take me, you know, I'm trying to find him. And he's like, not me. That was my dad. Same name. And so she basically says,
Daniel Wu.
Okay. Yeah. So she says, my dad's gone. Your dad's gone. Let's find him. I'm willing to pay you. It looks, she sees he's lost a lot of money.
Well, he's also got she pulls out whatever's left in her shoe and she was like, bam. And he was just like, what do you got in that other boot?
Yeah.
And she was like, all right, fine. So they end up going.
But
to
he's hard up for money. She sees he's lost money the night before at poker, and he's drunk and trying, you know, trying to drink his sorrows away. And so she's basically like, we might find our parents and you can make some money. And
he's
so
like, fine.
But he's like this. He warns her where you're driving to. It's just like it's like similar to that second Journey movie to where it's like you're flying into.
I've never seen either
one
of
those. Or the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. It's one of those where it's like you're flying into this place. No one goes here for a reason. Everyone gets lost at sea or whatnot, and so you know we're gonna run into some rough seas here.
Right. So they do their thing. She is woken up by the boat being pretty much besieged by storms and waves. The boat tips, and a very good. This is a great scene where like the boat tips and they end up like in the water. She washes up onto this
it's
island.
Cool looking scene.
Yeah.
The visuals were really
it's
neat
super
underwater,
dark, and I know why they had to do it because like you know. You got to do what you got to do to make this work in CG. And
I
stuff
mean, I don't
like
know
that.
About your guys' theater. Mine was bright. I didn't have any dark parts.
I think this
entire
scene was
movie.
Really dark.
I'm at a theater that they've recently renovated, and I guess the projectors are the bulbs are new. Whatever. I
don't know.
I'm saying I did not notice one dark scene. And I mean, we have scenes like even Black Panther in the beginning of that jungle was dark. What are the other darks? That fourth Pirates of the Caribbean crap.
Yeah,
the whole thing
a,
is filmed in the dark.
Movie.
But I'm saying like I know I usually pick up on like they. These are some pretty dark scenes, but
right.
I saw everything clear in this.
Okay.
So I don't know if it may be.
Where'd you see it at?
Ronnie's.
I saw it at the Esquire. So
Where'd
I saw
you
it at
it?
The Galaxy. So we all went to different theaters.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't know if that might be even part of a setting thing because even at nighttime, like I could see all the action and all the stuff. But very visually, when she leaps through the air, similar to like in the game, and then she goes underwater and you see the transition. And there's a couple times where she ends up in the water, one during this storm, which is at night, and then the other when she's trying to escape some guys in the jungle. And I'm like, how do they film that? It looks very real.
Probably in a pool.
I guess, but it blends in so well. Yeah. I'm like, wow, she really looks like she's struggling in the rapid water. And obviously she's not drowning in the, but you know, they film a river or whatever,
acting.
And then they put the CG her in. But man, I just thought the water special effects for her struggling around were really well done.
Right. So she gets, she washes up on, and she gets cracked in the back of the head by an unknown person.
Yeah.
She wakes up, and well, we're introduced to Walter Goggins.
Walton
Goggins, who is great in everything.
Yeah,
he's
he was good.
He was owning the craziness of this role. Like
he plays a character that's in the first game.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, the bad guy the first game is named the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it turns out that he had been working with Lara's dad, and Lara's dad found the entrance to this tomb but refused to give him any information.
That's how the movie starts. We should say, so the whole point of this, what the dad was after is this artifact, this ancient artifact that will...
Kikiro or something.
Will plague or will eradicate the world and the nation.
The Trinity Corporation is gunning it once it. And,
so that's what she's after.
Right.
Beside, we said, finding her dad, but this is what the dad was doing.
Right.
So he's there, and he says he can't go home until he finds it.
And they won't let him go.
Yeah.
The only contact he has is on this satellite phone.
Yeah.
And they won't let him come home unless they find this thing.
But lucky for him, so she's trying to find the dad, and she brought his research.
Yeah.
So the only thing he's waiting on is where to find the entrance and how to open it.
Right.
And she's got the whole notebook.
Correct.
And so, he's like...
So we get a good... Like, she and Daniel Wu get captured, and they're forced to work. She ends up breaking away. This is a good little action beat where they're taking people out and she gets away.
Walton Goggins also says he killed her father.
Right. And the other dad, the other guy's dad too. Daniel Wu's dad is also dead.
Yeah.
So she gets away and then they like, he's like, oh, I'm mucked up, boss. And he's just like, well, you can go find her.
And this is straight out of the game, which is awesome. So in the game, there's a crashed plane. I think there's even stuff like this in Uncharted. I mean, it's straight out of these games.
It's in the first Uncharted.
But this is a very similar set piece to Tomb Raider first game reboot, Tomb Raider. And there's a plane, you know, she's going down the river and there's a plane and she has to climb on it. And she gets she falls into it as it's about to go over the edge. And, you know, and they replicate it. And I think it looked great.
Uh-huh.
I think it was
this is the best scene.
Yeah, it was it was a great scene.
I liked this scene a lot.
I loved it. It was just so in the games, you know, even in the
this
older
was the
games,
one scene that I had a problem.
But there's
the finale of the scene I had a problem with.
With the plane thing?
The parachute. It looked like garbage.
Oh.
Like it looked terrible.
But that's straight out of the game. So
right.
It's really interesting how they replicate because the game is almost like playing a movie. Sure, it's longer and there's a lot more interactive stuff, but the cutscenes and the story, mm-hmm. you're playing a really good movie with good cutscenes, good action, good writing. And so they pulled a lot of elements, and I think that's what helped strengthen this movie, is because the game was so good and they're pretty much recreating. But what I do give them credit for is they took something that was CG,
right.
and they're using real people, you know, cleaning it up with CG, but they were able to recreate things like this plane escape sequence really well. And I thought this looked great.
It looked really good.
But yeah, so just like in the game, she ends up finding a parachute, and when the plane falls over the cliff, she's able to grab onto it, and she goes flying through the woods,
and
she gets the stick or branch straight through her side.
Right. And she has to pull
like
it out.
Jesus.
Like Jesus. Except I don't think water came out of it.
You know what I found?
Wine. Yeah.
You know what I found adorable? And this may just be me, but like in most of these action scenes, when you have a badass female lead, they're like, and fighting, and they're grunting, and they sound badass.
She
has the cutest little screams.
She does have screams.
She yelped, like, you know, all her, but they, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that, like she's being a strong, tough woman. Like, she was a badass. I just thought she had an adorable little, every time it was a shriek more than a grunt, right?
I did not find it fun. Like, I found
it was good. Like, I just mean, she's attractive, and I'm like, she's just adorable, even getting beat up or, you know, whatever.
There was a lot of screaming from her in this movie.
I think it also sold me on the everyman, you know, every woman type thing, where it's like she isn't a superhero that can get beat up or get hit or go out of a car window at 120 miles an hour into a wall like Vin Diesel can.
Right.
You know, and then be like, and brush it off without a scrape on him. Like, her shrieking sold that she gets hurt. And
right.
She limped. You know, she was not necessarily limping, but she grabbed her side as she walked
away.
She's hurt.
And, like, she's busted up.
And
she's losing life, if you will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she camps out, and all of a sudden she hears people, like a movement in the background. This is where she gets into a pretty good... This is where she kills the guy for the first time.
This was dark. This was the darkest. Yeah. I mean...
So she drowns him, basically. She puts him in a chokehold and drowns him.
But I liked
it.
It was a good
little fight. Like, it was down and dirty.
Her MMA stuff. Yeah, she did their leg, you know, arm locks and all that.
Right.
Chokeholds. And she drowned him
in the mud.
Like, it was intense.
She has a moment where she's like, well... Now
that's
just,
the first time
killed,
she's
I
ever
killed,
killed
a guy.
Yeah,
so that's a thing.
Yeah, instead of being in these action movies, like, yeah, I killed a guy, cool, let's continue on our journey.
Right, she has
she's
a
shaken,
yeah.
And again, that's credit to her as an actor. Whereas these movies, we don't usually see that much of quote unquote acting. You know, usually it's just these badass, cool action
right.
set pieces, and I like it. I felt her trauma from that experience of killing a person.
Yeah, that's the advantage that she has, because she's as good of an actress as she is. She brings an extra level of realism, and I hesitate to say gravitas, but like, she brings like that extra level of authenticity
character. It still has a foot in reality.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what elevates. That's why I say this is probably one of the best game movies ever made, because the material's elevated. Right, it's a video game movie, but there's acting, and there's
the advantage that they have is they have a more realistic video game to play off of.
True.
So that add it makes it more cinematically accessible.
Yes.
To do this,
I would agree.
So she sees the hobo hanging out like spying on her. So she runs after it. Turns out
obviously
it's obviously her dad.
We know he's not dead. Like,
but
on.
I also like the scene. So like, the dad has been living in this little like cave, and he pulls the rope up. Because he says, like, every time I see you, you disappear. So I'm just assuming.
Yeah, I liked this. I liked the way he played this character. He's been
vision.
He's talking to Wilson. You know, he's been on this island stranded and fending for himself. He's got he looks like Tom Hanks in Castaway, the beard and everything. And
it's an epic wig. I'll give him that.
Yeah, and Lara's talking to him, and he's like, you're not real.
Well, it's
not
that.
Real.
Like, so it gives you an idea, again, of how tough she is, where. Or how the no quit attitude, where like he pulls the rope up, and she was like, "I don't need no stinking
rope."
She
climbs the side of the
wall.
So
like, she's also got this wound in her side, but she's also free climbing up the side of this mountain. Yeah.
And that's why she passes out at the top.
Right,
But I like that when I just liked his portrayal. I thought this was really good. I did have a problem with this scene because he talks about for 7 years or whatever he's been seeing these hallucinations, and then so he's like, "It's not you," and then she's like, but do you remember this? I mean, if he remembered a hallucination from his memory, that would be playing tricks on him too. Like, that's terrible writing. It made no sense.
Also, when he left, she was like 16. So she
right.
wouldn't. she would look.
He could still. She, I mean, he could still imagine. The, what she
I
looks
mean,
like
she
older,
may look
but,
more like an adult. Yeah. But yes, you are correct.
But
she
the
would
fact
still
that
look like a child at 16. Yeah.
But the problem is that the way she convinces him she's a real person is remember this kissy thing we used to do.
Yeah, remember, well, remember, now, remember when you used to read me the Hunger Games and we do that thing.
I did the exact same thing. I'm like Mockingjay, yeah. but I'm like that does not convince him he's real. It's if he remembers it, it's from his memory.
Right, it would need to be something from outside.
So that was
his own,
so
right, yeah.
Stupid. I mean, as much as I enjoy this movie, I'm like no. That is the worst logic. So anyway, but he believes her. She's like, Dad, I'm hurt. And so he stitches her up.
Which I like the stitching scene where he was like, this is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me.
Oh, he says it's going to hurt me more.
Oh, does he say
too,
it that
yeah.
way? Oh, well, I heard it the other way. And I was like, "That I like that line.
No, he actually says it will hurt me. I used
so
to see
she's using like a fish hook and fishing wire to stitch her up. She was like, all right, we got you. Like, we got to get back. I mean, he was like, nope. Like, as long as I stay here, they're never going to figure out how to, as long as I'm alive and they think I'm dead, there's no way they're never going to find this thing. And she was like, yeah.
Well, this is another good
that,
line
where like,
yeah.
He has your journal. And he was just like, what?
Yeah.
Why didn't you burn it? And she was like, well,
how would I have found you if I did?
Yeah.
You know,
it it's also like, I see his point where it's like, yeah, dummy.
Totally. But you know, and she's like, well, we got to go after him. And she ends up saying like, my father would never give up. And he's like, I'm not that man anymore. And she's like, well, I'm still his daughter. Right. Like, that's good writing.
She
that
grabs
was,
the bow and arrow, which is what she uses in the game. Yeah. And takes
in
off.
The flashbacks, he teaches her archery and she ends up being able to hit an apple pretty far away just to show that she is skilled with a bow.
I do like the, she's like, well, did he say, you're not William Tell yet. And she's just like, Dad, that's not a story. That's not, it's a myth. He's like, well, sort of.
All myths
like,
are based
yeah,
in
based
reality.
On something.
Yeah, exactly.
So they, she leads the revolution. Like she starts to, she goes back to Daniel Wu's character and,
gives him a little head nod under the bridge.
Right. And then there's a big old fight scene where they're all fighting back and she's dropping these dudes with arrows. Like it's nobody's business.
It's the revolution that Doug tried to start. Right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, it's Doug.
She handed out pamphlets.
So we cut, like, they're winning the battle. Like, these guys are dropping like flies. And then all of a sudden she sees her dad, like, up in front of...
Well, they're about to escape. Everyone's getting away, and she sees him going to the door.
She's like,
the
you idiot. So they go, like, she... Walton Goggins shows up, and he puts a gun to Dominic West's head. And she should, you know... She... They think that she has the drop on him, when in reality, they've got the drop on her. He's like, if you think you can fire that arrow faster than I can fire this bullet, like, go for it.
Another small problem. I had a lot of problem with the bad guy cocking their gun to look cool in this movie. So she has an arrow at him. He has a gun pointed at the dad. He took about 3 minutes before he cocked his gun. Like, it wasn't even cocked.
Okay,
like,
so just shoot him then.
No.
So, like, what he's doing... When you cock a gun like that, and most guns don't have that anymore.
Yeah,
like, that's not a thing anymore. But like what that does is it pulls the trigger back just enough to where like all he has to do is put like no pressure whatsoever on
the
trigger.
Oh, he can shoot it without doing that. That makes it. Oh, because I'm like, if the gun's not like.
No,
you would
be
able to fire
like,
on him.
Usually that's
you...
a revolver thing. Like,
yeah,
if
sure.
on a revolver, but some. I think on the.
Well, that's
on,
for
like,
double action, right? So that you can keep firing.
Right.
Yeah.
But like you can pull the hammer back, and all you don't have to put any pressure whatsoever on the trigger.
Yeah, I thought it was literally like, I guess it isn't load. That's true. It's not loading a chamber.
No, it's just cocking.
I'm just like, man, he did that four times in the movie, and I'm like,
it makes a cool noise.
It is a cool thing, but it was overused, like to look cool. Because I'm like, okay, we get it. He cocks the gun.
Right.
Like, okay, but that makes more sense.
So he's like, let him kill me. Like, killing one. To
save
millions is worth it. And she was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I just found you. I'm not going to lose you again.
So she opens it. She opens the thing. Mm-hmm. And they all go down into the tomb. And they begin to raid it.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, and then this turns into Indiana Jones. Like, where there's, you know, there's
booby traps.
Yeah. And they step on, like, one thing. Hey-o. She doesn't look like she does.
Remember
fair.
We talked about
that. We did talk about that,
yeah.
They step on, like, a trigger.
I love
and, like,
this
the
skill.
Spikes come
I
up.
Love this skill. Ha ha! You should have seen your face. And a spike goes up through the guy's chest, and impales him.
Yeah,
it was a good kill.
It was a good kill. So then they have to use like a. They find like the Cavern of Lost Souls, and it's like this cavernous thing full of bodies.
Speaking of the guy that died real quick, I want to go back just briefly to the scene where she's leading the revolution.
Yeah.
A lot of people die. I like there were stakes in this movie,
yeah,
too.
Sure.
A lot of the people that were mining and doing all the heavy lifting for them, that they obviously kidnapped and have been adding people to this chain gang or whatever you want to call it, a lot of them died in the escape. And so it's like the stakes were real. It wasn't stormtroopers just shooting
just
here, you know,
randomly.
And no one dying. And so those were obviously a lot of red shirts. But I'm like, wow, there's real stakes. People are dying. And then you get a lot of the red shirts down in the...
There's a lot of red.
But
they're all of them.
Yeah. They all start dying one by one. And so anyway, it's just, again, a more realistic take for a crazy adventure movie. It's like, wow, people are dying.
Yes. So then they go, this is the scene that Tom was talking about, where the floor starts falling out and they have to put the certain jewels to create a certain color. Then they finally get into the tomb, and they find her. They find the tomb of the first
unknown soldier.
No. Oh. She's like the first emperor of China.
Did they cross an abyss with a ladder that was perfectly as long as
the ladder was exactly
I just wanted to make sure that happened.
Yeah, that was the Cavern of Lost Souls. Like, it was the perfect the ladder, exactly the length that they needed.
You don't want to bring too long of a ladder, just measure twice, cut once, right?
Like, that's right.
Well, if it's an extension ladder, if just that's as far as it extends,
right.
What are you gonna do?
It just happens to go exactly the right amount they needed it to go.
Mount Everest is like that. There's lots of ladders that they have placed so people can get. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and yeah.
Hmm.
A lot of the mountain climbers, like, are the purists, are like,
don't use that.
Like, they're like, you know, there's kind of this dichotomy of people that are like real mountain climbers, and then where it's like people with money that are kind of mountain climbing tourists.
I gotcha.
Again, it's still a major achievement. Like, I can't do it. So, like, if you happen to be uber wealthy and have climbed Everest using the ladder, please don't bother to write and scold me.
Still,
I couldn't
Mount
do
Everest.
It even that way. But, like, but the real purists are like, pussy. Yeah.
What was the one we saw?
We had a couple of these guys on the show.
What was that? Was that Everest?
I think it was Everest.
Yeah. That was a good movie. Those guys were cool to talk to.
Yeah,
they were.
They were. So they get to the I think she was like the first female emperor of either Japan or China, whichever one. Because that's where they say Japan.
Yeah, they say Japan a lot. It wasn't really that important as to where they were. They were on an adventure and they go to the jungle.
Right.
You know, I'm like.
So they open the tomb. And I liked this where I was like, that's kind of the way it works, right? Like, they're preserved until the oxygen hits them.
Yeah. This is another thing I really liked. So I was like, I hope they find this thing and there is no magic. I'm like, I hope it's not.
Because
I thought it was going to get the new Mummy movie with mummy being all crazy and witch-like and all that.
I did think that they were like, I felt like the Tomb Raider stuff was never based in the supernatural. Like, there was always a scientific explanation for whatever there was, and I was hoping.
I'm like, but it is a video game movie, and I feel like it's going to look like the last Mummy movie, and I love it. I'm like, please, I hope they get there, and it's just bones, and there's no magic to it. And they kind of did that.
It did.
And had
exactly
a very scientific explanation.
It did, because the curse was a disease.
See, when I thought of this, it was a little different. I'm like, oh, I hope it's just nothing, and they're all searching for this thing that's mumbo jumbo.
Right.
But I actually liked it more that it was like the prophecy.
Well, like,
but
the
it prophecy, had a scientific
they're saying
explanation.
That, like, she was anything she touched turned like died.
She was locked away because
they thought that they
she
were
was
trying,
a carrier, but did what was not suffering
she
from
did
the
it to
illness.
Herself.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was the
she was
reveal.
Immune to whatever it was
yeah.
that she had.
It was a disease.
Like, it wasn't the tomb,
like Typhoid Mary.
Yeah, kind of. I think you just mean typhoid. Isn't Typhoid Mary a Daredevil villain?
It's a character. It's a historical person.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She had typhoid.
And her name was Mary?
Yeah. And she
copied off the comic book.
Yeah, right.
And
she
was like a servant in a household.
Okay.
And so
what's her name, Mary?
I believe, oddly enough, her name was Typhoid. It was kind of a, it was a.
And she was always Mary.
It's like a Lou Gehrig's thing. And, and so typhoid was spreading and they didn't know how. And it turned out that she was like kind of patient zero and she had it, but wasn't getting it. And so she wasn't dying. She wasn't showing any symptoms.
Okay.
And she'd work in a house. These people get sick and then she'd lose her job because they'd die. And she'd go to the next house and, you know.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember. I think there's more to it.
That's what we call a constant variable.
Yeah. And I feel like there's more to it. I think maybe she even kind of knew she had it.
And she was like,
and then was just like, 1%ers. Yeah.
I'm taking you all out.
So anyway.
So she, they open it up and then like they're going to take the body out. And then like the main bad guy, number two, like starts to look at his hand.
Walton Goggins like, you guys lift her out of there.
Yeah, get her out of there.
The crops are like, don't do it. This is terrible.
Don't mess with it.
And he's like, whatever, I'm getting off this island.
And then he looks at his hand, and his hand starts to turn black, and it starts to eat away. And I was hoping it wouldn't, like, I thought we were going to get super gross. Like, I thought it was going to get, like, I don't know, he was going to blow up or something. I don't know what was going to happen. But, like, it's just this disease.
He's just infected, yeah.
Right. That I guess turns him into a zombie.
Well, I think he's just kind of mad.
No, like, because the big black dude comes back. Like
well,
he drops.
It doesn't mean he's dead. I'm saying I think that their brain, I think they're crazed.
Okay.
So if call that a zombie.
So
they're 28 crazed.
Days later.
Yeah, they're just like they're crazed. They're infected virus. And their brains don't work right. They're not. They're just. So yeah.
So there's a good fight. Like everybody's fighting each other, and then I do like the scene where like the obviously I didn't think Dominic West was gonna make it through this movie altogether.
Yeah.
Like I did not. Obviously, it's her movie, so he was not gonna be a thing. So like he's got his hand up and he shoots through his own hand. And I guess in the process of doing that, he was
holding the black guy's
but
head.
But he
got infected by holding the black guy's head. He had a lot
okay,
of contact.
Okay, okay.
You touch the person, and you get infected.
I just thought it was like he shot through his hand and it transferred.
No, he
that.
Just. I mean, I was like, oh, he's touching him.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, he's putting a tourniquet on. Just somehow get that arm off.
Wasn't
you.
That? I think that's a thing they do in Day of the Dead, where a guy gets like his forearm bitten, and they. They try to cut off the infection before, like, so they cut it off at the elbow, but he ends up, it doesn't matter. If you
it's
haven't
an
seen
Evil
Dawn,
Dead thing.
If you haven't seen Dawn of the Dead, do yourself.
Remember Evil Dead?
What's that?
His arm gets infected.
I'm kidding.
And
of course I know Evil Dead.
I'm just, you know, I think he does. He puts the tourniquet on his arm.
He cuts his hand off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got in my hand and it went bad. So I cut it off with a chainsaw. Yeah. So now the dad, Dominic West and Walton Goggins are in like this firefight in the
good fight scene where she gets the gun from the bearded guy that's like shooting his gun in the air.
Yeah,
the whole
movie, it was a good little like it was a good this. Is, so now they're both running like they're running back.
This is the falling the booby trap.
All the booby traps are coming.
Man,
back
he
into
gets
play.
Taken out. It's pretty cool. It's just like a video game where it's like jump, duck. I mean,
right,
you know, because there's all different
true,
levels of
true.
Swinging. And I mean,
right.
It's been in I think other in
all
probably
of
Indiana Jones. And but it was great. Big spiked things, but it's right out of a video game.
Right.
And she ends up
slides,
ducking, and he just gets
it,
boom
smashed
just,
by it. So Goggins is already on his way out. She kind of gets in front of him, and she's like, you know what?
And he's been shot in the leg.
Right.
So he's,
right. You know. So she's like. I will sacrifice myself. So they break off a finger.
She promised the dad. The dad says, promise me
don't
you will
let
not
him
let
out.
Him leave because he's got
the finger. He's
the
got
finger.
So they break off a finger. And
she
they
gave him
the
finger.
She did give him the finger.
First of all, I handle raw meat more carefully than he handles that finger in that Ziploc bag. Yeah. I'm the worst thing is I'm cringing. I'm like, oh, like it's touching the sides and then you're sealing it.
Right,
like,
right,
you know what
right.
I mean? I'm like, man, I handle chicken
Gross.
More carefully than that. Yeah.
Gross.
Just like, and I'm like, he's got to get it before the end of the, like the disease. He's got
don't
to.
Don't worry.
And
I have no fear.
I would say this is probably the coolest way I would imagine him getting
it. So they get, this is what, like, he's winning the fight. And then she turns it around. She punches him in the throat, which I thought was cool.
And he's
and
kicking
then
her ass like in the beginning
of
the movie. Like, again, not a superhero. She's a real person and she's getting beat up.
She's
but
getting beat up. So she grabs like as he's like stumbling backwards because she just punched him in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
She grabs the finger, shoves it in his mouth and then punches
and
him in
makes
the teeth.
Makes him eat it.
And then and I was like, all right, right on.
That's a cool.
And then so like, and it spreads immediately. And
finish
she,
him.
Yeah. She kicks him into the pit.
And that's how in the game, the bad guy falls too.
Spoiler. Oh, is that right?
The same named bad guy. Yeah.
Okay.
So very similar. I mean, different circumstances, but he falls off a cliff.
So this is where she goes full superhero and she's like leaping across this cavern and she pulls her way up and,
But that's straight out of the game.
Oh,
she's got
no,
the pickaxe.
It's fine.
And she's jumping off cliffs and trying to hold on to the wall, like straight out of the game.
Right. Which is like, it is what it is. Like, I accept the fact at this point that she is the Tomb Raider.
She's there now, and it is a video game movie. So it's like,
So she gets out, and her partner is there, and they, like, the transport ship is coming because they've already, they're like, we got it. And they're like, transport's on the way.
Yeah.
So they get back and they go home.
The cave collapsed perfectly around her to where she didn't get crushed.
Which like, I thought was like, okay.
But why didn't she just, again, I know it's nitpicky, but couldn't she have just like escaped in the nick of time and then it collapses? I'm like, what are the chances that these rocks, these huge boulders,
surprisingly,
collapse
pretty good
around her?
Okay. Chances are 100%.
So yeah, so she gets out and she goes back to the Croft place and she's back home and she was just like, and now we know she's like, look, this isn't for me. Like, you, Anna, you have been here the longest. Like, you need to run this corporation.
And I'm not a board.
I'm not a boardroom. I'm not a boardroom Croft or whatever. And she was like, sweet. So she signs the thing. So obviously so from the second I saw this woman and I was like, bad guy.
I did not like her from the moment
bad
I saw her.
Bad guy.
She also was like, when she was signing papers about the first time about the dad dying, she's like smiling. She's like, can I get you anything, Laura?
Well, yeah.
And I'm like,
well, at the same time,
it's been 7 years.
I know,
so
but
true.
It was
like the morning
she's signing
has
her, but she's signing the dad's death certificate and she smiled and was like, I mean, the other guy that was in,
who is that guy?
He
Why
was
do
in,
I know that guy?
Murder at the Orient Express.
Yeah,
he was the servant.
Okay,
he's also,
okay.
I mean,
great.
He's an actor that's been around for years. Decades, but anyway, like he's very like solemn and very, you know, and I just thought it was weird how friendly she was. I'm like, this person is not up to any good.
So we do a little flashback and they talk about this Trinity Corporation and there was this,
there's a ledger of all the
ledger of all the companies that they own. And there's this one company.
She just happens to turn to
the
right
one
page
and she reveals like this
10
one company,
point font,
the name of this company that she kept seeing over the jungle
it's
is
on
owned
the,
by Croft, by this corporation.
What was that? Dharma?
It is Dharma. In real life, it's DARPA.
Right.
This
one's
Dharma
Initiative.
It's Dharma Initiative. I'm lost.
So
there's an island, there's mysterious stuff going on. There's an evil company.
She got away from the island. it turns out.
And then
out,
she woke up and she was in a snow globe.
The Patrick Dempsey was in the shower. That's what it was. So she's like, you know, there's one voice on the other end of the phone. It's the only one that I talked to. It's very obvious that now she has signed over the day-to-day operations of Croft Consult, whatever it is, to Trinity. So she goes back to the...
Well, she was. So now we've seen her mansion. She's got a nice car. She's
right,
clean.
So
people are gardening.
Yeah,
and
the mansion has been cleaned up.
And
so
this
now
is the mansion if you get... I think it's first appeared in Tomb Raider 2, and then I think there was a special anniversary edition of the first one.
Do you mean the original one?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Where you could explore and jump around and train around the mansion, Laura's mansion. So it's definitely a shout out to that. And it you know, looks similar.
So she goes
design.
Back into the crypt and goes back into her little bat cave, the Croft cave, if you will. And she has a box of Trinity, like that has the Trinity label on it. And this is the next movie is she's going after
sequel time.
Yeah, of course. When you make a movie like this, like this is the time where you're just like, no, we're going to get a franchise out of this. And that's how it ends.
So credits and then mid-credits scene or
is her going
whatever.
Back. Yeah, she goes back and she's got like, she's like, I'd like my thing back.
And I, at first I'm like, no way they're going to give that back. But I'm like, it is a pawn shop. Like technically,
I'll sell it
you're
back
supposed
to
get it back. And so, and he's and like, that was worth a lot of money.
She's like, I told you it was your lucky day. So she's looking in the back and she sees a weapons cache and she picks up the pistol that she uses like that's kind of traditional to Lara Croft and she's like, and I'll take two. And I was like,
at least it was a post credit scene. You don't even have to watch, and some people turn it off for
the
credits.
It wasn't post.
It was.
No,
it was like mid credit.
It was a mid credit scene. They did credits, yes, and then they went to it. You didn't wait long, but what I'm saying is the movie was over, there were credits, and it was tagged on.
Yeah.
So we didn't get a whole movie of her being like, I'm going to go raid some tombs. Like I think Angelina Jolie says
somebody says, you're quite the tomb raider.
Yeah,
aren't you?
So this movie did not do a lot like that.
No.
This was the only thing you got, and it's the dual Berettas or
whatever they are.
They look a lot like the Angelina Jolie versions, but I think they've been the same similar model in all the games. So it was fan service for sure, but it also, I think, is setting up for if the next one gets made, it's going to be a...
I think they didn't want a Superman Returns issue of like, he didn't punch anybody.
Oh, sure.
And that they're like, she didn't have any guns. And so I think this is their way of saying, We know she didn't have any guns.
Yeah.
If you buy tickets, we will give her guns next
Exactly.
time.
Right. She's got two, and now the next movie's going to be that first Tomb Raider game from 96.
Hopefully they just do like the second Tomb Raider.
Hopefully it's just really kick-ass, and she's built up to what we saw her as, and if they handle it well, I think it could be fun. I think this one was fun. Again, it's not perfect,
I had a good time at it.
If you like the games, I think they did a really good job.
It's a good little breath of fresh, not a breath of fresh air, not like Man of Steel, but
I loved it. I loved everything about it.
364 episodes
that's right,
later.
That's right.
Oh man.
Like it was this nice little breather in between, you know, it was, you didn't have to think about it. Like this wasn't like you weren't going to rack your brain.
I judged it based on I'm going to see a video game movie.
And I was just like, hey man, I had a good time. Exactly. Like I had fun. And I, you know, it's a nice little breather between Avengers. Like when we're Avengers, we're about a month out. Like that is going to be, it's going to make so much money. It's ridiculous.
What was your take not being a fan of these games or anything?
Again, it was a moderately serviceable action movie.
Okay.
Like there were parts I liked. There were parts where I liked when they finally got to the running in the tombs. I really liked the airplane waterfall scene.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of the film.
Really good. I thought her in the river just looked great.
I would have really liked, I always like those kind of waterfall scenes too, because it's like, they've been doing that shot since silent film.
Yeah,
like
right.
I think I mean it's kind of nice when you see him still kind of harking that. It's like if it works, it works, man.
Yeah,
like it's like
plays,
I mean I think like dude I think there's I think Mary Pickford did scenes like that, like no lie, like I you know. But and then I like the Hong Kong dock scene if mm-hmm. they would have filmed it right, like that's you know. But yeah, like I wish we had more writing like we saw in the
and
the pawn shop interaction.
Yeah.
I
felt like it took itself too seriously.
Yeah, it kind of came to life in those moments.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, I wish I don't want full on camp, but
right.
just a That's little bit more humor.
That's the problem, though. It's a fine line to walk.
It is.
Video game movies are so bad.
Yeah.
You have movies like Doom with The Rock, who's super charismatic, but also has some terrible lines.
He's also not the main character in that
movie. But it's a video game movie. So, like, I think what they were trying to do is make this an actual film, not just a video game adaptation. And that's where I think the acting and the writing elevated it. And I get your point, but it's like, but then we could have easily descended to Campville.
Oh, absolutely. You could have.
It's
but,
just a hard
yeah.
line to walk when you're talking about making these video game movies, because video games are, they're the next step from action movies, right? Action movies are crazy, but they're action movies. Like video games are the next level of unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so to make this grounded.
Well, that's the advantage that they had, is like this Tomb Raider is based in quote unquote reality.
Right.
So like they didn't have to make it so Super Mario Brothers is not going to translate. You know what? If you want to do an animated kids,
they are
okay.
I think of all people
that will work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like the John Leguizamo. Like
I just
Dennis
bought that on Blu-ray.
Dennis Hopper, you're a brave soul.
It's
coming
just
from the guy who's bought Monster Squad more
than
once. Like that doesn't work. Double Dragon. I'll tell you what.
They all work for me, but they're not
Double
good
Dragon.
Movies.
If you make it like this, probably works. Like the two brothers in just a goofy action movie.
It's the Lee brothers, Ugg and Home.
Yeah, and like
see it's different
with Pat the T-1000.
Yeah. Oh no, Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick is the bad guy.
I just think sometimes they lose sight of the fact that like even though it's all something you're watching on a screen. Like a video game doesn't have to be as, it doesn't have to entertain in the same way that a film does.
I agree.
Because you're controlling it.
Right.
Right.
Right. And
right.
so you're interacting with it in a different way than you are with a film. And so a film can't just show you a live action version of what you see in the video game. It has to do more than that.
Right.
And it has to show you that action in different ways than if you were playing it. Because when you're playing it, you're invested in a way that you're not. It's, Marshall McLuhan talks about hot media and cold media. And if you don't know about that, the irony is that radio is considered a hot medium. It actually engages you more than television because your mind has to create the picture. And where video games are kind of this weird hybrid where
you can, it's both.
Because it's like, yeah, it's a picture and you don't have to create anything, but you're also controlling it. So it's totally different.
Well, you get
different.
Like the cutscenes where you're watching a movie. Sure, and then you've got the playable parts where you're investing and you're playing the game.
And so it's just a totally different animal. And just to pick that up and show it as a film, if that's what you're going to do, you can just watch the cutscenes.
Watch cutscenes.
You don't need to move.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah.
So is Tom Holland Nathan Drake?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if they're doing the young Nathan Drake, yes.
That should be cool because it's Tomb Raider.
But it's also
a
story they haven't told, right? Like, so in the Uncharted world, you don't get a full story of young Nathan Drake. Like, you get bits and pieces of it, you know? So, like, that story could be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like Tom Holland. If you see what he did with Spider-Man, I think Nathan Drake is that charismatic. You know, he was a great Spider-Man, and Nathan Drake is the Nathan Fillion type character with that smart-ass kind of, you know, and I think he can pull it off well. So that will be kind of a...
It'll be fun
to see. Interesting to see how they do that origin because, again, you've mentioned it multiple times, Uncharted and Tomb Raider are very similar characters and story types. And so now we're going to see the origin of Nathan Drake. It'll be fun. Be interesting. Hopefully.
So there it is. There's awesome. Tomb Raider.
Well, I guess that's it for this episode. There's no Dan, so there's no video recovery.
Video recovery is Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4 or
Alan
Xbox.
Quartermain. That's a video game recovery.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's such a great, in combination with this, they're very similar, but you get to play the story.
No, go see Alan Quartermain. That's what you should do. Don't do that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's probably it. It was Sharon Stone, by the way.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And also, Jonathan Rhys-Davies was in that movie.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So,
really?
Yeah. I think it might have been one of his first roles.
That was Sharon Stone's first role.
Yeah.
Would have to be because he's not that old.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He's that.
There it is.
So that's it for this episode. I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket or on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can join the League of Show Sharers while you're there. And as long as you're in front of your internet machine, swing on by iTunes and leave us a review and a rating. It'd be weird if you left us a review and no rating.
I don't think
you can. You can leave a rating and no review, but you can't leave a review and
no rating.
Yeah. So do all that, won't you? There's your homework.
Yeah, what you want to do is click the fifth star on the right.
Yeah.
And then you just type something.
And then straight on till morning.
Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. Coming up next week, I believe we'll be tackling Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh, okay.
So next week, Kevin will give each and every one of you a Pacific Rim job. So that's our gift to you.
Congratulations, listeners.
Wow.
Wash those buttholes.
Yes. Or don't.
Or don't. That's fine, too.
It's Kevin. Like, whatever. Like, it's not our problem.
It will be my birthday, so I'm not doing anything of the sort.
That's the deciding factor.
That is not my birthday present.
That's the sole reason that's stopping.
Yeah, it's just because it's his birthday. Otherwise, game on.
Yeah, I'm just not asking for that from a birthday present. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you shouldn't let it. Don't let it be a special treat. It needs to be worked into your life on
Correct.
A regular basis.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from,
it's
Kevin.
Fine.
I hear what you're putting down.
Push the boundaries a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you have to look forward to now that we've ruined that.
Yes.
So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Alan and Jesse each keep a diamond.
Tomb Raider follows the chronicles of it's Lara Croft.
Yes, Lara.
This is my first complaint. It should be Laura. You want to say Laura. Everybody wants to say Laura. And everybody does say Laura secretly. But somewhere along the line, some prick was like, no, it's Lara. All right, well, I'm con man. O'Brien.
A famous explorer once said.
This is kind of a trailer for the game.
Okay, you going to talk through it?
Yes.
Good.
I finally set out to make my mark.
Oh, she's very attractive.
There's the ship.
I know that's a ship.
Adventure.
Okay, she died. Game's over.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.